and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavens.
Hallelujah.
This is end of the year. We're trying to reposition you not only for these remaining weeks, but actually for the coming year. The calendar I use, we're already in 2014, is the Jewish calendar. They enter their new year, the ending month of September. That's the calendar I follow. It's usually 3 months ahead of the Gregorian calendar, which starts in January. Actually in a new season altogether. When a year is coming to a close like this, one thing is more important than any other thing in finishing a year well. It's called Thanksgiving. No matter what you do in this period, take my word for it. Never you be found making a request on the Almighty God without plenty of thanksgiving. The people that deserve more from heaven now are the ones that are thankful. The ones that are ungrateful won't get much. Trust me, I tell you honest words. If you want more, maybe you want proper finishing. Maybe there are still some things that you need to tidy up for 2013 to go. Maybe there are goals set for this year that has not been thanksgiving. We deliver it. When things are going well, thanksgiving will cause it to continue. When things are not going well, thanksgiving will terminate it. If in the midst of bad events, you can lift your hands and say, Lord, I thank you. You find something that he did, something that is good around, and thank him for it. You get his attention to that thing that is not working, and he will terminate it for you. I want us for a few minutes to lift our hands and our lips and give the Lord thanksgiving and praise. If not for anything, you are still alive. 66,000 people die every day. Some even said every minute. 66,000 die every day. Multiply by how many days we had this year. You know how many people that have exited this earth and you are still here. Father, we honor you. We reverence you. We honor you. We thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mighty hand upon us. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you for your wisdom that have guided us. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your eyes that watches over us. Thank you for your provisions. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for answering prayers upon prayers. Thank you for glorifying your name. Thank you for the privilege of being in your service. Thank you for making me part of this great family, the Dominion City family, placing me right in this Dominion mandate. Thank you, thank you. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and I'm grateful. Thank you. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for dying for me on the cross, wonderful Lord. Thank you for blessing us with health. Thank you for blessing us with strength. Thank you for blessing us with ministry gifts.
Thank you for the gift of PCJ here in Lagos and all of these great pastors. Thank you for blessing us with mighty sons, mighty men all over the nation. Thank you for what you are doing across the shores, nations of the world. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. Thank you for blessing us with families. Thank you for the gift of Pastor Sarah. Thank you for the blessed and lovely kids. Thank you for keeping them. Thank you for keeping them. If not for the Lord that is on our side, we will not be here. We will not be here. None of us will be here. None of us will be here. Travels upon travels, travels upon travels. Thank you for preserving this ministry. Year after year, people move all over the country, moving for camp meetings, moving for different programs. We don't hear any bad news. They go, they come back because of your protection, because of your glory that is abiding over us. Women giving birth to children, we don't hear any bad news. Ladies not dying in childbirth in the midst of this country where maternal mortality is so high. Thank you for preserving the kids, preserving our children. Parents not burying their kids. If we start enumerating your kindness, there'll be no end to it. I'm grateful. Thank you for honoring your word, confirming your word with signs and wonders every time. Every time. Now, Lord, glorify you again tonight. Glorify your name again tonight. Glorify the name of your son, Jesus, who you raised from the dead. Glorify his name again tonight. Throughout this weekend, let your mighty hand be stretched to crush the works of the enemy, to overturn the counsel of the wicked, to lift up your people and set them free, where they will rejoice. Everyone will end this year on a note of victory. Everyone will end this year with rejoicing. Everyone will end this year with laughter. In the name of Jesus. Anywhere there is a sign of crying, a sign of pain, a sign of tears, I reverse it. In the name of Jesus. Everywhere the devil wants to get a last laugh, everywhere the devil wants to have the final say, I reverse it in the name of Jesus. Whatever belongs to your people, no matter where it's hidden, even in the depths of hell, I command it to be released. In the name of Jesus. You're going to end this year with a note of victory. Take my word for it. You're going to end this year with a note of victory. The devil will not have the final laugh. The devil will not have the final say. He is defeated. Jesus defeated him. He made an open show of him. Lift up your hands. The hand of God is upon me tonight. Some business God wants to take care of. Haga brakuba kuba haya safist. Patana lasia kashienda stovat. There is one person. There is one person that we all need to learn to appreciate. We all need to learn to thank. We all need to learn to recognize and honor. If not for him, there will be no ministry. And if anybody has a ministry, it will be impotent. If not for him, we will not have the victory. His name is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left and ascended back to heaven, that is the one he sent to take his place on earth. He's the third person of the Trinity. Everyone lift up your hands and honor him and thank him. Without him, we wouldn't even be saved. The Son of God paid the price on the cross. But it's the Holy Spirit that implements what Jesus has purchased in our lives. We honor you. Welcome, wonderful Holy Spirit. Have your way again this night. Have your way again this night. Not one life will live here the same. Not one person, Lord. Not one. Not one. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the awesome price you paid for us on the cross. You defeated sin, you defeated Satan, you defeated death, and brought immortality to life. Thank you. Because of your victory, we can have salvation, we can have deliverance. We can enjoy all of the wonderful benefits that we boast about today. Thank you. I honor you forever. You're my master. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You are my everything. You are my life. You are my treasure. You are my glory. You are my beauty. I honor you with my life. And I serve you. And I thank you. Thank you. Glorify you again, yourself again this weekend. The reason I live, you're the one for me, the only one for me. Like, sing it again. You are the reason I live, you're the one for me, the very one. Why should I fear when I have you? Surrounded by your love, everlasting love. Why should I care what people say? They don't know to me, to me. You are the reason I live. You're the one for me, the very one for me.
The reason I
You're the one for me. The very one for me. Oh, why should I feel when I have you surrounded by your love? To me. Please, can you just give at least 2-3 people a good handshake, a blessing? Just speak a good word to them before you sit them. My God, the presence of God is in this place. Hallelujah. There is something, an instruction I heard from heaven. A major move of God is coming to the earth. Is what you've been hearing people prophesy about, the latter rain, the season prophesied in scripture, or the season decided by heaven for that to begin is here. It has actually started in certain quarters, in small, but it's going to grow to become an inferno that will engulf the whole earth. I want to prepare you to be right in the center of it. I want to prepare you not only to finish this year well, but to be positioned for the greatest move of God in your life in 2014. One of them this morning, I was talking about the law of attraction, the supernatural law of attraction. In the kingdom, it is the anointing oil. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you want people to be marked for breakthroughs, anoint them. It will not be these people pursuing breakthroughs. Breakthroughs will start pursuing them. If you want to know the secret behind that blessing spoken in Deuteronomy chapter 28, where he said, the blessing will pursue you and overtake you. The key is the anointing. Heaven opens where the oil is found. If you carry the anointing, you won't look for husbands. There will be too many of them looking for you. If you carry the anointing, the enemy cannot exert upon you. He is banned from tormenting or oppressing you. God does not just want the pastors and ministers to carry the glory and a few people in the church. God wants the whole army of God to be clothed with this glory in these last days, because that is what is going to be the differentiating factor between you and the other people out there. It's also going to differentiate between one believer and the other. The believer that has it will stand out. It's not only the law of attraction in the kingdom, it's the law of differentiation. I'm sure you have heard that statement, the anointing makes the difference, is an absolute truth. It differentiates between one minister and another. It differentiates between one believer and another. And it differentiates those that are God's people from those that are not. I love how David spoke about that. David said, he anoints my head with oil. In his other psalm, he said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The reason he said that is that you have to keep the anointing fresh on your life. You don't just live on old anointing. You have to keep receiving fresh impartation. But he said, he anoints my cup, and my cup runs over. Sequence of that is goodness and mercy. Because wherever you find that oil, that's where the good things are attracted. Wherever it's absent, that's where satanic affliction goes. without having to go back, there is a case of a man that lost the anointing in the Bible. His name is Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 16. He's not the only one. There are a couple of examples written in scripture to warn us the danger, to warn us of the danger of taking light of the Holy Ghost, taking the presence of the Holy Spirit lightly. If you ever get it, never lose it. If you lose it, then you are going to discover that it is the greatest thing you have on earth. It's more important than your wife and children. It's more important than your business. It's more important than your job. It's more important than every other thing. If you lose it, 1 Samuel chapter 16, for example, for David, verse 11 says, Samuel took a horn of oil, actually verse 13, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. What the oil marks the person, the Holy Ghost now knows where to land. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The oil consecrates the person. The person's life now becomes landing place for the Holy Spirit. The anointing marks people. It's an emblem that distinguishes an individual and sets him apart for God's holy use. You see, there is a place for the communion. There's a place for the blood. There are things the blood can do that the anointing cannot do. For example, if there is sin, the anointing cannot remove it. The blood will have to do that. If the anointing departs, to get it back, you have to bring the blood to do its work. When the blood that has power to remove sin has done its work, that anointing falls. The anointing falls where the blood has passed. You can't have Pentecost until you have Calvary. Pentecost will never come until the blood has been shed. The Holy Spirit does not anoint what has not been cleansed by the blood. So Samuel anointed David with oil, and his life changed from that day, because from that day, the Spirit of God began to come upon him. And anybody that has that experience, his life changes. You will not find an anointed poor man. Read your Bible. You will not find an anointed failure. Read your Bible. You cannot even find an anointed stupid man. Anointing brings wisdom, supernatural wisdom. Read your Bible. It's the same thing that changed the life of Solomon. You cannot find an anointed, tormented person. If there is torment, anointing left, or it was not there. The anointing breaks the yoke. If you want to compare yoke, that's satanic burden, satanic oppression, all that the enemy can do. If you find a burden, if you find a yoke, bring the anointing, it will break. Why does God anoint men? Because there are problems in life that no other thing can solve. There are problems in life that government cannot solve. There are problems in life that businesses and companies cannot solve. There are problems in life that doctors cannot solve. If you have scarcity of anointed men, we are going to have a lot of human affliction that will not have answers. ...80% of life problems are spiritual. Think about it. The 20% that we can handle, for example, you cut yourself with a knife, you need some stuff to treat it. First of all, make sure bacteria don't get involved, and then you sew it up and treat it, it will go. But if a demonic power gets involved in a sore, if after that cut, a demonic power gets involved in it, all the mercy man has invented, you can put it there, it will not heal. What you're going to see is that next thing, that sore grows, as you're treating it, it's growing. There are sores they have brought for me in crusades, in meetings like this. You see somebody's leg eating up, the person is getting rotten. In one case, there were maggots in somebody's leg. This sore is so putrefying, and it smells. This man is rotten while he's alive. And there's this thing crawling there. And I asked him, don't you people go to hospital? He said, sir, we have gone everywhere. Just one rebook. 3 days after, the leg is normal. There are things that doctors cannot handle. There are things that medicine cannot handle. There are problems that an MBA, master's degree in business administration, cannot handle. There are problems that connection with the president cannot handle. There are problems that being a president yourself cannot handle. The rich also cry. The rich also cry. Let me say that again. Naaman was an army general and he was a leper. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. What fire does to wax, that's what the anointing does to oppression. That's what it does to yokes. That's what it does to sicknesses. That's what it does to demons. What acid will do to your flesh, if it's poured on, it will eat it up, burn it. That's what the anointing, it eats up demonic oppression. It doesn't matter how many years it took the devil to create what is troubling you. One contact with the anointing destroys it. One contact with the anointing eliminates that. Anointing, the anointing cannot be faked. You can hype like what the Americans do these days, especially the African Americans. They know how to hype, hoop. You can do that. You might like hooping churches where the pastor knows how to hoop. I'm not criticizing anybody, but when you finish hooping, you can only get more headache. I've been in meetings where you finish screaming and leave with headache. You might like hype. Maybe your own attraction into psychedelic Christianity. Where you? Is it because I'm born again? People like you don't talk to me. You operate in class. You like to despise other believers. Sorry, my dear. There's no class in the kingdom. There is only one class, the Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. This is the royal family. And all of God's children are royalty. You dare not look down on one whom God has accepted. I might not drive what you drive today, but I'm going to. Because the seed of loyalty is in me. It's called the dominion image. It's inside me. I might not dress, wear what you wear. If it's good, I'm going to. I'm not going to wear everything you wear because some of it are crazy. You only copy what is good. It's the husband that decides how his wife dresses. Can I say it again? When you get married, you don't dress for your boyfriend or for the admiration of the guys out there. There is only one man for the eyes of one. He likes it, keep it. He doesn't, burn it. Can I say it again? If you don't like this, don't get married. Just keep the guys admiring. No problem. But after the product has been removed from showroom, it's no more for showroom. No more window shopping. You know, like when you bought your brand new car,
You keep it in the showroom for people to be window shopping? No, you take it where? Home. You don't like home. You don't like. Don't get married. You know, some people say, it's my life. No, don't get married, though. It's not your life anymore. It's my life. Nobody can tell me what to do. Don't get married. You don't know what marriage is. It's no more your life. If you choose to be married, you are going to share your life. It is so serious. The Bible says your body is no more yours. It belongs to your partner. It's not yours anymore. One lady was suing the husband. That's Accra for you. He said the man raped her. I said they should jail that woman 7 years. There is nothing like rape in marriage. That's where rape is official. Now, in quotes. Because what is really happening is that it's not a rape. They are having disagreement over money. And she tried to keep sex. So the hungry man got too hungry. He decides to eat the food that is his own. The food is his. He doesn't need to pay for it. The food is his own. Should I show it to you in the Bible? Don't worry. We are talking about the anointing. Glory be to the name of Jesus. Now, there is something the Lord asked me to talk to you about. The whole ministry needs this. Now, every end of the year, I ask God, what is this one master key that if we put in the hands of our people, it will put them over in the coming year and in the years that will follow? Every year, I usually ask God for one thing as a key into the year that is coming. And he told me what it is. The move of God is coming. He said, but many ministries are going to lose out because of this issue. This issue. If you will teach your people, your part is to equip them. That's why you see by coming in that book will be available, you know, everywhere. If you will teach your people, I'm going to put them over and they're going to be ruling the scene while a lot of other people. Is one secret in scripture that majority of people tend to ignore. And yet, it makes and unmakes people. It's about how to honor God's servants. It's about what the Bible calls prophet honor. It's about the role of ministry gifts in your life. Seventy% of the work of God has been delegated to man. It's only 30% that God still keeps to himself. Now, first of all, you have to know that the Almighty God runs the universe. There are about 500 billion galaxies that he created. And one of those galaxies is the Milky Way galaxy. There are over 200 million, billion, not million, 200 billion solar systems in this one galaxy called the Milky Way galaxy. Now, you come into that Milky Way galaxy, you isolate the solar system where you and I are. Remember, there are over 200 billion of them inside this Milky Way galaxy. I used to teach this thing and I show pictures of this that the astronauts have taken in space. out of over, some scientists said over 200 billion, some said 500 billion, whatever it is, the one you believe. You isolate one galaxy, inside it, there are over 200 billion solar systems. This sunlight we see is just one out of 200 billion. And around each of them are planets. So this particular solar system we belong to, this is our sun, there are nine planets revolving around it. Think about it, there are other 200 billion in just one galaxy. God is running the universe. He's not just running planet Earth. And so what he did is that he structured his government. Each galaxy, each solar system, he assigns beings that govern it. There are spirit beings that control fire. There are spirit beings whose job is to control the movement of the sun. There are beings that control the flow of solar system, the seasons of the year. There are beings whose job is to look after the vegetations and the forest. There are beings that look after the animal kingdoms. Then he came in the physical earth and took his government of the earth and transferred it to man. That's what he called the dominion mandate. He told Adam, have dominion over the earth. Anything that now goes beyond you, you meet any challenge, you think that you are not able to handle, then refer to me. But as far as my government, my authority, the affairs of this universe is concerned, I'm transferring it to you. Run the universe the way I will run it. Run it under my government. As long as you don't rebel against my government, everything in creation will obey you. Adam was pushed by Satan or tempted by Satan to disobey God, to rebel, and he lost the dominion mandate. So the devil took over man's authority, man's government. That's from where we got this language, the God of this world. The language that is found all over the scripture used in reference to Satan. The prince of this world. For example, show them John chapter 12 verse 31. One of the places that Jesus calls him the prince of this world. But Jesus said in that place that the prince of this world will be cast out. He will be removed from power. Now Adam lost the dominion, so God sent the second Adam. That is Jesus. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. What is he talking about? The cross. When I go to the cross, die, pay the price, I will recover what Adam lost. Somebody said to me, how do you know he's talking about the cross here? Because that's where he defeated Satan. But if you want to know, let's see. He said it with his mouth, verse 32. If I be lifted up from the earth, what will happen? I will draw all men to myself. You see all thousands of people getting born again. It was not possible before. Satan was running every Gentile nation on earth. The only country he was not running, he was not governing, he was not controlling, was the nation of Israel. He had 99 of all the countries under his hand. And his government is so powerful that it cannot be challenged. Look at some of the attempts that the children of Israel made, like in the nation of Babylon, where Daniel would try to bring the knowledge of the true God. He would land in the burning furnace. Because in every community, in every town, in every nation, in every country, what the priests, satanic priests, say is final. Once they come, talk to the traditional ruler, talk to the king. You see these people? Burn them alive. They are disturbing our tradition. They will carry those men of God and burn them. The devil could not be challenged. There is nothing like deliverance. If you go mad, there is no cure for madness. There are some sicknesses that you have. They throw you in the evil forest because there is no cure.
for the first time in the history of planet Earth, a new force has emerged on the earth that can tell the devil, shut up! And he actually shuts up. Come out! And he comes out. Jesus defeated him and then raised the church and put us here on earth to continue the mandate that Adam was given. What Adam lost at the fall has been restored. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Then look at the next verse. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. So all this talk is about his death on the cross. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Show it to them. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same. Why did the Son of God become a human being? Why did he come in the human form? I want you to find out. Because to redeem man, you need blood. And the Almighty God does not have one. Blood is the only payment for sin. Once sin has been committed, the consequence is death. The only way to stop death is to sacrifice another life that is innocent on behalf of the one that sinned. So whenever we say blood of Jesus, I want you to understand what the essence is, life. The wages of sin is death. The consequence for sinning, rebelling against God, is death. The only escape is that an innocent one will have to die for the one that is guilty, so that the one that is guilty will not die. It simply means if somebody else who is not guilty before the law will agree to take your punishment, which is death, then you that deserve the punishment can be acquitted. That is the purpose. It's called exchange, substitution. If you can get a sinless lamb and let him die on the altar, then the guilty one can be allowed to go because his punishment has been executed. Though not on him, but on a willing substitute. The substitute must be willing. If he is forced, you have committed another crime. You've killed two people. The Nigerian constitution doesn't have that kind of provision where a mother can decide to go to prison on behalf of the son, where a friend can decide to say, judge, I know my friend committed this stuff, but I want to take his place. The medical profession has it to a level. Because if somebody is dying and his kidney has packed up, a friend can give him his kidney and suffer the consequences of loss of one kidney. Somebody that is old enough, who still has a good heart or a good kidney, can decide to donate it and even die. As long as he's willing. They will give you that consent paper, you sign. And that's what Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own power, and I will take it up of my own power. Why did he do that? The Bible said the purpose is that through death, he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. You see what he was saying? The Bible said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He said, he was saying this about the death he was going to die. So that he can pull out the men and women, millions of people that are bound under the kingdom of darkness. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Of course, verse 15 said, and delivered them who through fear of death were subject to bondage all their lifetime. I think they said it's the worst fear on earth. It's worse than fear of demons. It's worse than fear of heights. It's worse than fear of failure. Fear of death. It has led many people
Now, this statement has been accomplished. Jesus destroyed Satan. Jesus defeated him. Jesus dethroned him. And Jesus disarmed him. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus was talking about Satan. He said, when a strong man guards his house, his goods are safe. He was talking about Satan. He calls him a strong man. He said, but when strong one that is stronger than him comes, he first of all defeats him. Then he disarms him. The way he said it in Luke is, he removed all his weapons, on which he trusted. Then he spoils him. One stronger than the devil has come 2,000 years ago. He not only defeated him, he disarmed him. There are 5 D's of Satan. He was defeated. He was dethroned. He was disarmed. He was destroyed. And the final one is where the book of Colossians said he was disgraced. He said Jesus paraded him openly. One translation said he made an open show of him. He didn't just defeat him privately. He dragged him in the spiritual world for all the angels, for all the demons to see. So there will not be any question again in eternity about contest between the two. One day I said to the Lord, why not send Angel Michael? He knows how to take care of Satan. Why did you have to send Jesus? He said, because Satan fell because of man. It was because of man's inheritance as children, as sons, that he fell. That's why he rebelled. His problem was, after submitting to God, I'm going to submit to his children again. After serving God, the angels are serving spirits. They are servants created to serve you and I. Satan's problem was, after serving the father, I come again and start serving the kids. I will not do that. So he went and shared the idea with the other angels and inspired rebellion among them. And one third of them followed his stupidity. So God's plan from the day Satan fell is that the instrumentality for dealing with him has to be a man. I want you to get the job clear. That was also why God set man, that man was going to judge the angels. What he had top in his mind was these fallen angels. And then he created us and made sure he gave man dominion. Because they have removed Satan from the earth. They have cast him to the earth. This is where he now operates. This is where he lives. So he created us and gave us dominion. Adam was aware that there was a fallen being in his territory. And the reason God said have dominion included over the creeping things that creep upon the earth. He was talking about serpents and scorpions. And it's for Adam to control these forces. He had authority. Amazingly, the demon, the devil that Adam had to deal with was an illegal power that had no authority. It had power to tempt, but had no authority to govern. Authority is what deploys ability. Another discussion. The devil had power, one power of deception. He is a cunning devil. He is a liar. And God did not take that ability from him when he threw him away. He still had it. So what he did was to use that power on the woman. And let me make this clear. Anytime Satan enters any system, government, society, family, church, it always enters through a woman. What he does is that he starts from the weaker vessel. God operates through the divine order. The head of man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. The head of the children are the parents. God follows the divine order. You won't find God talking from under up.
Anytime you see a church go through unnecessary whatever, they have exalted some women beyond where their authority should be. And they don't have, because what the devil does is the art of seduction. What is that thing in a woman that makes her weak and susceptible is the emotional component. Women are not less intelligent than men. No. When they say they are the weaker vessel, it's just that God designed it that way so that she can be receptive to the man's love. He just wanted something that would complement each other. It's the emotional component. So if you meet her when she's lonely, there are guys who can do to her what the devil does. You don't need a serpent to do it. There are situations where you see a small boy of 18 years making a woman of 40 years fall. Ladies, get a grip of your emotion. That's where the weakness is. So what the devil does, he lies. He manipulates things. Because emotion colors reason. At that moment, they don't think straight anymore. Look at a lady. She has had three kids from three different men. She comes to me. And guess who is deceiving her again? She's not married yet, though. There's another small boy, 22 years old, deceiving that girl, 41. With three kids from different men. And I finished talking to her. He said, "Pastor, you don't understand. I love him. People have their mistakes. I still love him like that." She ends up with a fourth pregnancy. She disappears from church for a while. She thinks, "I don't want to support. I'm trying to get her out of another hut." She disappears for a while. After a long while, she comes pregnant. I said, "What is going on? Have you finally married?" He said, "Pastor, you remember that boy now? I don't know what I did to God. Why God is always allowing things to happen to me?" I said, "God is now the one to be blamed. What you were doing with your two eyes open, and I warned you three times. You thought I was your enemy. Now God is the one to be blamed for it. When are you going to learn to become responsible? There is no solution to your problem till you take responsibility for it." Anytime you see a man take responsibility for his problem, you know he has started finding 50% of the solution. All he needs to do now is take the medicine provided and the rest is history. What is the issue? Where is that weakness? Emotion. The devil takes advantage of that. God walks through his established order. The devil walks through the other way around. He goes from under. Watch the destruction of America. Father, mother, and children. Now it is children that are on top. Mother second, and men are last. Men don't have any authority there. And if I'm to live in America, two things will happen. It's either I will not get married, I will not submit my dominion mandate to an alien demonic culture created by somebody there. It's either I will not get married, or I'll come to Africa, marry, have the children here. I'm very serious about it. You are not going to put me under that system. It's demonic, and look at what he has done to that country. And now why they are destroying the real family, they are creating an alternative family, is now men and men, women and women. I'll come to Africa and marry an African woman. If I take her to America, she learns the American system. I will let her be captured by the system. But she will not drag me into that. That your Eve ate the forbidden fruit doesn't mean Adam must follow. It is when the man does that you fall. The family falls. The family does not fall because of a woman. Churches don't fall because of a woman. Nations don't also fall because of a woman. The usual thing is that when Satan gets the woman, he goes after the one that has government. The foundation of the family is the man. The foundation of the nation is the male man. Foundation is what carries every other thing. That's why men need to be properly discipled. To be able to carry weight.
I'll go to India, marry an Indian woman. They're in America, but they're not divorcing. They are not following that stupid culture. I'll go and marry a Jewish girl. They're in America, they're not following that stupid culture. You go to their families, like the Chinese, they are doing well. It's Nigerians that are now doing, that are more crazy than the white people and the African-American guys. Marry today, divorce tomorrow, marry again, divorce. I met one, she says she's an evangelist. She is going to, for her 8th marriage. But read your Bible, the priest has a different assignment. The priest is not allowed to marry a divorced woman. So that thing you see some pastor is doing in Ikeja is nonsense. You need to read his Bible. Priest, once you have that consecration, anybody that has been married before, anybody that's been a prostitute, you're not allowed to do that. You will tamper with the anointing. They are only allowed to marry widows of priests. If you want, I'll show it to you. There is priestly consecration. That's choosing to be a pastor. It's like when you choose to be a native doctor. You have to know what is involved in that. Whether they eat this or they don't eat that. Now, for example, there is Nazarite consecration. The Nazarite consecration involves that razor cannot touch your head. It involves that you don't drink alcohol. The priest can shake alcohol and still have this anointing. Should you do that? No. For what reason? Not because it will stop you from going to heaven, but you will damage your health, which ends up being the temple of what? You will abuse the temple. But a Nazarite takes alcohol, he loses his anointing. But for a priest, among the consecration of the priest, one of them is the type of woman he marries. I know some of you who are young think it doesn't matter. She has been in the streets. She has been with 200 men. And I got her born again. And I sent the demon out of her. And then I fell in love. Wait in the latter years of your ministry. You will see the implication of your stupidity. For example, everybody's temptation, the same old thing he has been delivered from. If you send a demon out, it's the same demon that will always want to come back. Help somebody conquer a particular habit is that will always want to come back. You be big and you slim down. Guess what your battle will always be? Returning back to this. So, I meet those pastors who tell me, the lady is now jumping around with church members. Go and check who she used to be. For a priest called to bear the oil, there's a type of women that are called priestly women. And the priest is to marry a woman that has been out of a marriage. Maybe the husband is dead or whatever. It should be the wife of a priest. If not, go and find a beginner. So that's why the scripture included that. Remember, I'm talking, but this is about the preservation of the oil. One thing is to get, one is to know how to preserve it. In the New Testament, just a small balance, because I think for everybody, it's just a little balance so that it will help. In the New Testament, when you give your life to Christ and you receive, you turn your back on your past, you embrace Christ coming into your heart, you become a virgin all over again. This is New Testament teaching. And if you don't return to your relationship with Satan, as far as God is concerned, you are a virgin. Can a pastor marry a New Testament virgin? Absolutely. Because that's also who you are. Seller. Are you still here? What is this thing that God wants me to get across to you? Let me explain it. There are three gifts that God gave to the church, to his people. They are called the three redemptive gifts. The first, and all of them are personalities. The first is the gift of a savior. Nobody can have salvation without receiving that gift. That is Jesus Christ, our savior. There is one God, not many gods. And there is only one mediator between God and man. And that is the man, Christ Jesus. You don't have many ways to God. If you like, find your own way. Create your own religion. Follow whatever you like. There is only one God. Just like people have created many gods. There is only one God and one mediator between God and man. It is the man, Christ Jesus. What separates him from all the ways is that he is the only one that died for our sin. And what if that claim was false? Somebody asked me, what if he just died? He was a martyr. How do you know that he actually died for our sin? How can we prove that his death was a sacrificial death needed to bring us salvation? Because God raised him from the dead. And there is no other person claiming to be a way that has been raised from the dead. The truth is, there is no other person claiming to be the way. It's only one man, mad enough, crazy enough to say, I am the way. No other person does say that. Usually you can say anything you like on your deathbed. Truth is never found lacking in the lips of the dying man. The truth comes out. Look at the one that invented the theism. Look at the ones that pronounced that there is no God. Look at all those. Look at Darwin. Darwin at his deathbed was crying. He said, forgive me, Lord, oh blessed master. Oh, this evolution was when I was a young man searching for an answer. And I gave that. He said, I will burn all my books. And I will give all my wealth just to have eternity with you. After telling the world that we evolved from. Now, these are the things. But they won't go and publish that one and teach it in our schools. Because there is a devil in this world that does not want people to know the truth. Look at Lenin, that fought against Christianity, removed God from Russia, and Stanley, his son that inherited that place, and they built the communist whatever, destroyed over 200 million souls over the 70 years that communism lasted before he fell. On his deathbed, he was seeing hell and seeing the devil, and as they were trying to drag his soul, he was still alive here. He was crying out, oh, even for 1 minute, give me another chance. The daughter was standing there. The daughter was so frightened that the daughter said, I will never again want to be beside a man like that at their deathbed. This is the one that has gone to the three worlds, been to heaven, came from heaven, lived here, and gone to underworld, and came back alive. That's why today his name, just his name, demons come out. Just his name, cripples walk. Just his name, blind eyes open. Just his name, there is salvation in no other name. For there is no other name given among men whereby we shall be saved. You say, Christians are arrogant. They claim to be the only way. I wish there are other ways, but they are not. The only begotten Son of the Father is what he sacrificed. Salvation is through him. Now, see the problem. You reject him, you damn your own soul. Okay. We had a testimony this morning, in the morning session. It was a Muslim family. The wife died. This is still current. Now, it's not last year. This is not 2000 and what? This is 2013, and this is just 4 weeks. I came here for pastor's retreat. Within the week, I was on my way to South Africa for Dominion Convention. Pastor was sending me texts. This woman died.
She has been sick. She died 1 a.m. in the night. I said to myself, if a Muslim woman died, what is special about it? 66,000 people die every day. What is special about that one? But he's my son in the ministry. He pastors the church there. Because I learned that that lady, you know, I started coming to church. Was just a new Christian trying to find this. But the husband is a staunch Muslim. And they called him. And he went there and prayed from 8 in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon. He was here talking about it this morning. 2:30 in the afternoon. Now, I was in my car on my way to the international airport to catch a 5 p.m. flight. And I decided to turn on the phone. I had that phone switched off. As I switched on the phone to give a call, text entered. And I read it. It said, Pastor, we've been praying since 8 in the morning. And now I don't have courage to live here. I told the husband, kneel down beside your wife and make a vow. If this woman rises from the dead, you become a Christian. And he has done it. He said, the Muslims are gathered outside. And you know, in their burial, you don't wait till another day. They must bury the person that day. He said, what will I do? Then he put one statement there, and that's what got me. If this woman rises from the dead, a lot of souls will be won to Christ. This is an opportunity for mission. At that moment, the anointing hit my head. Because I know that is also how God operates. Show him something that will lead to salvation of souls. Ah! Immediately, I closed my eyes at the back, and the driver was firing. We're on top of Oshodi. And I said, Lord, did you hear the text I just got? And they said, the people are there, and this man of God has been praying. Now, Lord, your holy name is what is at stake here. I said, number two, what is at stake here is the salvation of these ones that don't know you. And immediately, he gave me a reply. He said, call the woman back to life. Now, you know, I can't start driving there. There's no way, no turning. So, immediately I called the pastor. I said, give the husband the phone. He gave. I said, what killed your wife? He started telling long story. I said, collect the phone from him. I said, put the phone on loudspeaker so that they will hear what I will say. What I wanted them to hear is the name that brings the wife back to him. So there will be no question about it. It's not tomorrow. He said, it's the man of God. It has nothing to do with me. There is one name given among heaven whereby we shall be saved. I said, put the phone in loud. And he did. In the name of Jesus Christ, God's holy son, we rebuked death to let go of the woman. And commanded her to return back to her body. When I finished, I heard that amen. The pastor shouted. Then there was silence and the car was moving because she was still lying there lifeless. And I said, find water and pour it on her and she will wake up. And they carried water, poured it on her and she woke up. Now, does that mean I raised the dead? No. It doesn't mean that. It means that God raises the dead. It means that the name of Jesus controls the three worlds. The Bible said God has highly exalted him. The Bible said God has highly exalted him and given him a name above what? Every name. That at the name of Jesus, everything should bow of things where? In heaven. That means if we need to summon somebody that has gone to heaven, return back, there is a name that can get him. If we need to get angels to do their job, there is a name that can deploy them. Then of things on earth, and of things under the earth. Let's assume that lady was in hell. I'm sure you've heard the testimony of that other lady. What's her name that was raised from the dead that went to hell? She married now. I dedicated her baby in Abuja last time I was there. What's her name? Uloma. Now, do you know, the same name brought her back, but she was telling her story that she inside hell. Because he said, at that name, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things where? Under the earth. Even if they are in hell. Lift up your hands. Wherever what belongs to you is hiding. Whether it is taken and hidden in the bottomless pit. Whether somebody tied it in the bottom of the sea. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command it to return back to you. Any man here whose destiny was tied up, we declare it loose in the name of Jesus. There are people here. The breakthrough you needed this year has been there. The year is trying to close, and you are still telling stories. I command now that stagnation will end. I command that dream to convert to reality. I just heard an announcement from heaven. And while I'm addressing another thing, God is announcing something else. There is a lady that is here that has lost 3 pregnancies before, and I'm asked to tell you, you are conceiving a baby boy and no power from hell can touch that baby. Go home. Your tears have been wiped. When you give birth to that baby, bring the boy. We will dedicate him. Lord my God, what is going on here? I'm still hooked into this stuff. What do I do, Lord? Okay. Just relax a little. Let me get some. There is a revelation, and it's going to cause an explosion. The key is the master key to the coming year. Now Jesus has died, and there's no other place we can find salvation except in his name. But beyond salvation, now that he's risen from the dead, he has another job he does for us, no more on earth, but in heaven. The Father made him our high priest. The reason is that Satan goes before God to accuse believers, especially when they have done something wrong. And the idea is, if he takes your case to court, knowing that God has final authority, and you don't have defense, you don't have an attorney to defend you, he can get permission from your own father to come and deal with you here. Because when a higher power delegates that kind of authority, he can do it. He will do what normally he's not allowed to do. So the Father made sure that Jesus does not just die, pay for our redemption. He made him our high priest, the attorney, our advocate, that sits at the right hand of God to defend our case anytime there's an accusation. I can discuss the 7 major jobs he's doing for us right there now. For example, when we pray, you know why we are told to pray in his name? Because anytime you come to the Father, he said, in the name of Jesus, the prayer leaves your hand and enters his hand. And it's now the prayer of Jesus before the Father, and the Father can't say no. Have you seen the issue? God wants you to come to him on Christ's merit, not on your merit. Because sometimes you don't qualify, sometimes you mess up. And on the basis of that, you will not be allowed access. But on his merit, you are allowed access 100% of the time. One of the reasons I don't have prayer failures. The only condition Jesus attached to that is that while he takes our place before the Father, we should take his place before men on earth. He said, you confess me before men, I confess you before my Father and his holy angels. If you deny me before men, that's when you are looking for trouble. Just be my voice, speak for me, introduce me to people. I will always be your attorney and defend your case before God. That's why I have taught you. Soul winning is one of the greatest bases for bargaining anything with God. Be his mouthpiece. Don't say I'm shy. You want your lawyer to be shy before the court? No way. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. How many of you love Jesus? How many of you know that he is the greatest gift God has given us? Because that gift carries our salvation. Our salvation is not in rituals. It's not in attending church.
is not in membership of any church. Our salvation is in a person, in accepting him as your Lord and Savior. That being said, we put a command there, not a full stop, because there's a lot to discuss on the subject, but another day. The second gift, redemptive gift God gave us, is the Holy Ghost. The moment Jesus ascended to heaven, God now sent another member of the Trinity to take his place on earth. There's something you need to know about the Trinity. When Moses was going to deliver the children of Israel, the person of the Trinity that undertook that assignment is God the Father himself. They asked him why. He said he was going to take a wife on earth and that he's going to get himself married to a nation of Israel. He's going to call them out of oppression and he will marry that nation. I'm talking about making a covenant with that nation and they will be his people. Through that nation, he will reveal himself to other nations of the earth. So God came down. In Genesis, in Exodus, God actually told Moses, I have come down and I'm not leaving till I have accomplished that project. And I will bring the people out. I will take them to the promised land, plant them in their own land, bless them there. When I'm through with this project, then I will go. Somebody else can come. In the course of the journey, they have come out of Egypt. The people made another god for themselves, molded an image. And God called Moses and said, from now, I'm not going with you anymore. I will delegate this project to an angel. I will send my angel. His name is Michael. The angel that protects and guides the nation of Israel is Michael. That's why you hear his name in the Bible. There are other angels as deadly, even some more deadly. You don't know by their name. You don't know most of them by name because the Bible came from the Jewish context, from there to the rest of the world. God said, I'm sending an angel. I'm no more going. Because these people, if they can do this, I'll get angry one day and wipe them out. Moses said, no way. Thank you for the angel. I am grateful. But if your presence does not go with us, then we are no different from all the other nations on earth. He convinced God to become part of the project till they reach the promised land. And God now said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Build me a tabernacle. If you build it, I will come and live in the holiest of holies so that I will be with the people permanently. Anybody looking for me, let him go there. I will be there all the time, 24 hours of the day. Teach the people how to approach me. And he gave them that ordinance. So one nation that had God's presence constantly, not some days, not some weeks, not he come and go, permanently dwelling with them, is Israel. They got to the promise and he told them, build a temple, sanctify the Holy of Holies, carry the Ark of Covenant, put there, and I will come there and live. Until the destruction of Solomon's temple, God sent a prophet. They started worshiping idols again. They brought idols from all the different nations. He sent prophet Ezekiel to tell them how the glory departed from that temple. And he told him, I will destroy this house where I made my dwelling place. And I will destroy this nation. I will scatter them among all the nations of the earth. After all I have done for them, they still turn away to worship idols. And Ezekiel was watching. It's there in your Bible. And the glory, the Shekinah lifted and returned back to heaven. And Nebuchadnezzar came with his army and destroyed that temple. It could not be destroyed as long as God was living there. And they carried the children of Israel, killed many of them, carried many of them to captivity. Others ran away to other countries. And the nation scattered. It took 70 years, a lot of repentance and intercession by Daniel, Ezra, and some other prophets before God brought them back as a nation. God is a jealous God. If you are going to walk with him, stay away from relating with God and having the devil as your boyfriend. It's like marriage. Covenant is marriage. You can't be serving him and be serving an idol. You can't be 1 foot in God and you still dabble with occultism. You still dabble with charms. You're going to get yourself messed up. So, 2,000 years passed now. The second person of the Trinity is his time. And he came here born of a virgin. His own work was specific. The Almighty God went to take a people from Egypt. His own is to redeem a people from all the nations of the world. And he has to die by paying a price. Use his blood as the sacrificial atonement for the sins of humanity. He did the work. Succeeded. Rose from the dead. Ascended to heaven. And the moment he ascended, the third person of the Trinity is asked to take over the job on earth. Now listen to me, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. He has been here for the past 2,000 years. I have done comparison. Which of these three dispensations is greater? The dispensation of God the Father, which is the dispensation of the law. The dispensation of Christ. Really, Christ's dispensation is yet to come. He is the one that is coming to live here for the next 1,000 years, called the millennium of Christ. Why he had to come before the Holy Ghost is that the Holy Ghost can't come until there is Calvary, until there is shedding of blood. So he came and did that work and got out of the way quickly for the Holy Spirit to come and do his work. His own time is coming. He's going to be here physically with you and I for 1,000 years non-stop. He won't leave once. Now, people will worship him from all over the world, but anybody that wants to see him in physical form will take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. He's going to be living in Israel and ruling the world for 1,000 years. That's the next thing that is on the program. Who is the one that is here right now? The Holy Spirit. How long has he been here? 2,000 years. He is the most neglected person on earth today. Like what they did to the Father. In his presence, they were making idols. People are doing the same thing to the Holy Spirit. In his presence, we are finding first loves, ignoring the one that should be our first love. Yet, everything Jesus died for cannot happen without him. Jesus paid the price. The Holy Spirit cashes the check. Jesus provided everything in the account. The Holy Spirit is the one that cashes it. You know, healing, 2,000 years ago, you were healed. By his stripes, you were healed. But we're talking about cashing it. Let it happen physically. The person that makes it happen is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, his job is to enforce the benefits of the cross and the resurrection. 2,000 years ago, every man was saved. All our sins were paid for. And people are going to hell. Why? The person that actually enforces the work of redemption is the Holy Spirit. Until he touches your heart and recreates your heart, nothing has happened. But has redemption been paid for? Yes. 2,000 years ago, Christ defeated the devil. Disarm him. But the person that sets people free today and actually removes the bondage of Satan is the Holy Spirit. Everything Jesus died for will remain a theory until you recognize the Holy Spirit. Today, because he's the one that is here, he is the person of the Trinity, we should all learn to respect, to receive, to adore, to recognize. Every morning you should say to him, good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for waking me up today. Thank you for keeping me. The Christian life is not just hard. It is impossible. If you remove the Holy Spirit, you can't live it. You see, the standard of God is so high that no natural man in the flesh can live that standard. If you don't carry the Holy Spirit and know how to relate with Him, receive Him, you will keep failing. You will not have what it takes. But when the Holy Spirit fills your life, the Christian life is not hard. It's not a struggle. If you don't want your Bible to be theory, if you don't want that thing to sound like novel, you're just reading something. It doesn't happen in your life. You hear it. The Holy Spirit is the key that unlocks that book and turns it from letter to life. Like me, I live in the Acts of Apostles. We're still writing that book. The Acts continues. Why? Because the Acts of Apostles are the Acts of the Holy Ghost, true men. Once you understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, divine activities start in your life. It won't end. Miracles will be happening. Things will be happening. The Bible will be getting fulfilled in your life. There are Christians that have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are doing without so much. Because the power to drive the Christian life is found there. The Holy Spirit does not have blood to forgive sin. The Holy Spirit did not die for us on the cross. Jesus had done that. But it's the Holy Spirit that enforces the victory of the cross in our lives. I heard where a group of Christians were doing deliverance. This is the son of a village priest, an idol worshiper. What do you call it? Satanic priesthood. Satanic priest. Now, the priest of a particular community. The son. And the demons were talking. They said, you cannot cast us out because this boy is dedicated to us from childhood. He's the one that will take over his father's office when the man dies. So how can you people come here and be telling us to come out? And one time, they said that devil, you know, he was manifesting, but refusing to go. And the devils, you know, started laughing out. He was laughing through the mouth of the guy. He said, look at you guys, you are getting tired. You have been screaming since morning, trying to cast me out. He pointed at one, he said, you are even losing your voice. Can't you just surrender and accept that I'm not coming out? So one sister heard that part. She felt hurt. How can a demon be saying this kind of thing to God's people? So he came and told me. I was very angry. And I was sleeping. I was having a siesta. Getting ready for an evening meeting. This was UNN when we were in school. I was so angry. I said, where are they doing the delivery? He said, on tennis court. I said, take me there and show me. Who dash monkey banana? I just got close. Why? Why is it that I could deal with that? I know how to enforce what Jesus has paid for. What he has paid for has given us rights. But to enforce it is the Holy Ghost. And then that name that is above every name. And I just walked through the gates of the long tennis court. I said, who is that devil? They cast you out from heaven. You came down here. Now you are tormenting this young man. Who gave you the right? All souls are mine. The souls of the father and the souls of the children. Even the father has no right to dedicate the boy to you because the soul belongs to God. The man did not create any soul. Neither did you, devils. I wanted to attack them from the legal point because I saw what they were. They told me.
So I was at the gate and I was talking as I was coming.
They started screaming.
Oh, we will go, we will go, we will go. Please, we will go, we will go. I said, come out.
Shut up. And they came out. The young man got up, cleaned up. So then go and clean him up. He can now serve God. You want to be a priest, become the priest of the Most High. Not that that priest is going to deceive people, looking for who to kill. If you carry the Holy Ghost, you can enforce the scriptures. If you carry the name of Jesus, you can enforce the scriptures. Now, I want to say this. The most important gift, if you remove Christ, that God has given us is the gift of the Holy Ghost. There are many things that will not go right till you learn to recognize Him, accept Him, and honor Him. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He goes where He is accepted. Where He is honored, His glory is revealed. Where He is ignored, He pulls away. That's why if you see this influence on Dominion City, it's because of constant recognition of His person and His ministry. Not why I'm alive, and not even after I'm gone, because I'm leaving enough teachings to guide the generations that are coming. But not under my watch, the Holy Spirit will be disrespected. No. Just that He's not been recognized for a while. I always apologize to Him for that. Every one of you, lift up your hand. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm really sorry for neglecting You. And You are the most important person in my life here on earth. You're more important to me than my job. You're more important to me than even my ministry. You're more important to me than human beings. I'm sorry. Come and fill my life afresh. If you learn to talk to Him like a person, you are going to be so rich spiritually. You're going to be so loaded. Don't just seek the anointing, seek the person, and the anointing will be rich in your life. Finally, tomorrow we will tidy up this, but I need to open it up. The third gift of redemption, the third and final gift of redemption that God has given us is the what is called ministry gifts. Ministry gift. The gift of pastors. The gift of prophets. First of all of us are gifts. But if you don't honor those three gifts God has given you, you as a gift will depreciate and will really not have value in life. You are a gift yourself. You are a gift given to your generation. Because everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a calling. But beyond that general purpose that God has given to each individual, there are ministry gifts. If you are an Abraham, God is going to put a Melchizedek in your life. If you are a Timothy, He will put a Paul in your life. If you are a Peter, He will put a Jesus in your life. If you're a Joshua, He will put a Moses in your life. If you're an Elisha, He will put an Elijah in your life. Pastors are God's gifts to the church. Just like He gave Jesus. And some people have rejected that one and are in hell. Some people are still rejecting Him and they will pay for it. Just like He gave the Holy Spirit. Now here is the amazing thing. This is where it becomes even more serious. Ministry gifts began to arrive on earth the moment the Holy Spirit got here. From that day of Pentecost, apostles and different gifts were born. But the amazing thing is that God committed 70% of His work on earth to men. 30% is what he kept to himself. And that 30% is what the Holy Spirit runs. I need to say it again. God committed 70% of his work on earth to men and kept 30 to himself. That 30 is what the Holy Spirit is going around doing. That 70, he put it in the hands of men. The truth is, it is the Holy Spirit that is doing all of them, but he's using men to get it done. It is so critical that God made it that anyone that will not receive the one he sent will do without his deliverance, will do without his breakthrough, will do without. You can believe in God all your life. If you don't believe in the one sent, you will die without what you're looking for. It's a mysterious thing. It is so critical. A lot of God's people will go around telling you, God is the one I love. God is the one I follow. God is the one. They ignore the agents of deliverance. They die without their liberty. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, God the Father said to Jesus, sit down at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Verse 2. The Lord will send the rod of your strength out of Zion. The day Jesus ascended, the Father told him, sit down, but ministry will continue on earth, but ministry will now flow from the church. Every time you see that Zion, he's talking about the church. Remember, we have come to Mount what? Zion. The city of the living God. The innumerable company of angels. He says, sit down at my right hand. You have finished your work. You have sacrificed your life for man's redemption. Every work of redemption now will flow from the church. The most important institution God placed on earth today is more important than government. It's more important than families. It's more important than education. It's more important than commerce and business. It's more important than sports. It's more important than the media. It's the church. Jesus is the head. The church is his body. Everyone touch your neck. Say, from neck to my feet. That's my body. Say, from here is my head. So you can see, this is the amount of work the Almighty God does. This other work, he left it for the body. The work he does is to give us direction, provide us guidance, provide us all of the work of communication. That's why if you watch, the gifts of the Holy Spirit is 70% intelligence, communication, and 30% power. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit, tongues, interpretation. These are equipments for receiving guidelines. Because the instruction, talking, the hearing, the vision, the direction comes from the head. But the church does the execution. The body is the church. The most important institution. Now, but let me, everyone, touch your neighbor's leg. If you're beside a lady, be sure, be careful where you touch her. Can touch our hand. Now, excuse me. You touched the leg. Did you touch the person or not? Eh? There is a woman that made tapes. They brought it to me in Accra. Tapes of her church. He attends one of the popular Pentecostal church in Lagos here. She's offended over a business transaction. She brought a container where she sells things. According to her, she had goods in it. And she has a business running beside her church. And the Lagos State government came and removed that container, destroyed her stuff. And according to her, she has evidence to prove that from the church government authority that they wrote the government to come and remove those things. So her offense is that how can her pastor, after all she has done in that ministry, connive with government to come and remove her business? He said she went to talk to the man, and the man was telling her, this business you're doing is distracting you. And then she turns against the church that God has saved, her pastor that God has delivered, turns against everything, makes tape, goes on air, and is telling people that the miracles there are fake. I'm here to tell you that man is a real man of God. I'm here to tell you, Dominion City is not the only good church. There is an evil spirit on earth that tries to disconnect the body from the head. What that lady does not know is that she is fighting Jesus directly. She thought, I'm fighting the leg, not the head. At the end of her tape, she said, I still believe in God, though. I believe in life after death. And I actually believe in holiness. But she made a mockery of the holiness and righteousness that her ministry teaches throughout the whole tape. And started making a mockery of the miracles, which she has also been a beneficiary, and started fabricating things. She went to capitalize on a few that did not receive their healing and tried to use it to discredit thousands that are being healed. Hey, it's like somebody saying that, you know, they were CNN got up to attack Benny Hinn on the subject. You pay people. How many people can you pay? How many people? Which bank in Nigeria, First Bank, to pay the amount of people getting healed in this kind of ministry? It's happening on a constant basis. How many? Okay, I entered a shop yesterday to buy furniture. As I walked in there, I was even embarrassed. Somebody, my pastor. Quiet. Next thing, she brings money and gives me. Inside the place. And she was talking. She wasn't hiding. And the whole shop, everybody now, even the other customers that came, they were now looking at me. He said, I've had this problem for years. It was the first time he said, I was healed of it. She's the one giving me money. People believe we are paying people. She now claims that the miracles are fake. The miracles in that ministry are not fake. That man is a genuine minister. That man is a minister. What is the problem? There is something about ministry gift that a lot of people don't understand. Anytime you see such a thing, check the name. It's from the East. I'm not joking. Never forget that Jesus never calls a perfect man. If he does, that man will be another Jesus. There's only one perfect man, and he's the one that is our Savior. Can I hear an amen? Can you know? Do you know who he made the leader of the church when he ascended? Peter that denied him. If God looks for perfect people, you will never, ever have a place in ministry. You won't even enter the kingdom. You can't judge people by your standard. If you know the amount of refining work that I have been through from the moment I answered the call. Last year I was in Spain attending a business school. What was a pastor doing with a business school? I'm still going to Harvard. What's a pastor doing with that? Refining. Raw materials needs to be refined. A gift is like a raw material. There's refining. That's what training does. Everybody will not have that. And God does not use it just because of your education. Because of container. Because of money. What is causing all that stir? Money, money. You destroy the work of God. To her is a man that she's dealing with. She even calls the man directly by his name. You are in Nigeria. Watch. You will see the end of the result. When it's true with the human error, then the divine side will step in. Anybody that helps God to judge his anointed will end up receiving fierce judgment of God. Sit thou at my right hand, and the Lord will send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. Jesus still has many enemies, but he's not the one dealing with them now. It's the church. So Ephesians 4 verse 11. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Let's speak from verse 9. Maybe it will give you the context. When he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? Start from verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captives and gave gifts to men. Let me tell you what it means. That time he ascended and the Father told him to sit down. He transferred all his ministries over to men. He gave some to be apostles. He gave some to be... Show them verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be teachers, some to be... I was in Asaba, I think it was 2 weeks ago, if I'm correct. I was in the stadium with PM. One of the nights I came in, the power of God fell. It was creative miracle. God was creating organs in human body. There was a young woman who was born with this problem. One hand did not develop. So when she stretches out her hand, one hand is like this. And that's how she was born that way. And she's a full-grown woman. Right there, that hand grew out equal. Now, watch. She has been a Christian for years. How come God, is it that God doesn't care about his daughter? No, God cares. What is the issue? If anything will happen on earth, it's going to happen through ministry gifts. You see this Muslim woman that is alive now. If there was no ministry gift to call her, she would be in heaven or hell, wherever she went to. And there is nothing anybody can do about it. To make sure that the anointing is not scarce on earth, to make sure that deliverance is not scarce on earth, most of what you are praying for, you think is in heaven, is here. The treasure is in earthen vessel. That's why many people miss it. 70% of the kingdom work of what God needs to do, casting out devil, setting the sick free, healing those that are oppressed, bringing salvation to them. It's in the hand of ministry. Each time we go, maybe one crusade, altar call is given. You see thousands of people, whether it's bunker or my crusades. You see, sometimes more people give their life to Christ in one night in some of our crusades than that can form 10 big churches. Ministry gifts. The only thing that deals with the enemies of Christ today is not Jesus. He's told to sit down. God has equipped men with what he equipped Jesus with. He said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. The glory he has given me, I have given you. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. Everybody that does not understand the role of a pastor in his life, we do without over 70% of what Christ died to give him. Let me warn those of you that are very unruly. I don't understand what is going on. There are problems that doctors cannot solve. There are problems that money cannot solve. There are problems that connection cannot solve. And over 80% of life problems are spiritual. Be careful with what you do with the gift of God. The same way they treated the Father in the Old Testament, that's how they treat his gifts today. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. And he gave 7 major reasons why he gave these gifts. If you read down till verse 16, you will see it. If you are going to be perfected and matured, you need this gift. The Holy Spirit will not be able to do it by himself. If you are going to be released into your ministry, grow to your release, you need this gift. The Holy Spirit will not be able to do it by himself. And Jesus sitting at the right hand of God will not be able to do it. He can talk to you and say, I've called you, but you will remain in that frustration until you learn who your Moses is. Your deliverance, your prosperity. Look at the Bible. It said, believe in the Lord your God, you will be established. So, my salvation is in believing in Jesus. But he said, believe in his prophets, you will prosper. What has a pastor got to do with my finance? There are two types of faith. One is on God, one is on the one that he sent. You believe in God, it governs your salvation. But your prosperity, how well you do on earth, is affected by on how you relate with your prophet. Everyone lift up one hand. Say with me, my pastor is a gift given to me by God. Just like Jesus is a gift given to me by God. My pastor is not my savior, but is the agent of deliverance, is the agent of breakthrough in my life. No man of God can die for you, because even the man of God needs a savior. Let me close with this. I'm coming back on this issue. The Lord said, herein lies the key. If you want your people to stop struggling, herein lies the key. Herein lies the key. Herein lies the key. Matthew chapter 10. I'll close with that. I'm coming back on it. There are some things I need to show you. Verse 40. Jesus sent his disciples two by two to go and heal the sick. Chapter 10, verse 1. Let's start with verse 1. I think it will make sense before verse 40. Verse 1. And when he has called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Remember that it is all manner, all types, all types. Where did you get your own type that the anointing cannot handle? What you need to be taught is how to receive the gift God has given you and honor the grace that they carry. And there is no affliction that can stand. That's why there are some people, you call them on phone, they get healed. A woman was dying. They said she had lost her breath. Somebody even said she has stopped breathing. She's not fully dead. She's at that junction where she will cross. But when they say she had lost her breath, he just got me on phone in Accra, just on phone. I said, put the phone in her ear. Within 2 seconds, everything troubling her has left her. There is another one. If you like, live in her house. If you like, lay head, lay hands, lay body. They will not receive it. Go and study, and I'm going to be opening up some mysteries to you. In 2014, you will find that our receiving things is not hard. You see all these things, whether it is job, whether it is contract, whether it's... it's not hard. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God makes provision. We want to circumvent his provision, and we'll go and be disturbing heaven. Why you are disturbing heaven? He said, what is your problem? But the answer is with you there. He said, no, God, you are the one. Ah, you cry. 20 years passes. Why? Because the kingdom of God is like society. It operates by delegated authority. If armed robbers are around your neighborhood, stop calling the IG. The IG lives in Abuja and God lives in heaven. IG lives in Abuja. But his authority is broken down. There's a commissioner of police in Lagos. The commissioner of police too. There is a police officer. Now, before we even get to police officer, who is the one that control the small, what do we call that? DPO. There's a DPO around your area. Wise business people go and develop relationship with those police posts in their environment. You don't have to have all the money on earth. Walk into those barracks and see the kind of terrible condition under which these people operate. Why don't you be the one that go there? We just brought you Christmas gift, DPO, a clock. Put there Dominion City. And see the day you have a small headache, you call him and see the speed. You know that the police can walk. Go there and see the kind of furniture they are using. You have all those furnitures here. Why don't you go there and just change the table? DPO, we decided to come and do Christmas for you. You know, on behalf of Jesus Christ and all that. It's not just that you're doing PR for Christ. You're also doing for the kingdom. You're right there, donated by Dominion. Put it there. You think Rotary Club and all these other people are fools? Go to Island now. You see a whole street decorated by Zenith. You think they are fools? If you are Fashola, Lagos State Government, and then two banks are coming to your office for favor, and you know that one bank contributes to development in your state, and whenever government does certain things, they come and donate, and this other bank never shows face. Now they are in trouble. Maybe their land is about to be revoked and run to you. Which one will you save? That's what people don't know, that the kingdom of God works by delegation. God is not the one doing his work on earth. First, there is the Holy Spirit taking care of the unseen world back with angels. And now you have ministry gifts taking care of the seen world. Do you know that Abraham was made a promise by God directly? 25 years, not one of them could happen. Except that he got prosperity. Even the prosperity, God used two people. He used his wife, he used a king. The king of Egypt, even use the second king to bless him. One day he meets a man by the name of Melchizedek. There were two encounters Abraham had, and those two encounters translated the promise that God Almighty made to him to reality. The prophets are God's law of conversion. In the church, there are five principal laws for supernatural conversion that God put in the church. One of them is the law of faith. Faith, if it's acted upon, can bring what is not seen to the physical. But the prophet is God's principal law of conversion. These things that are in the spirit, people read about, the prophet is to make it real, make it happen. Verse 40. He that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. If that woman knew that it was Jesus he was dealing with, she would not do it. The problem is that in the mind of many believers, the head is disconnected from the body. So when Saul was persecuting the church, he did not know he was persecuting Christ. One day on the road to Damascus, he falls off his beast and he heard Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Because if I march on your leg, I've marched on you." He that receives you, a
anyone that he sent, he said, he that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives he that sent me. God judges how you treat him by how you treat his men. God judges how you respect him by how you respect his men. I want you to see how dangerous this thing is. It has sent a lot of people to hell. A rich man dies in the Bible. He went to hell. You remember that story? And Lazarus dies and went to heaven. You remember that story? Rich man made two requests. He said, send Lazarus to come and cool my tongue. I'm burning in the flame. I need water. Abraham said, prayer number one, canceled. It's impossible. That request cannot be granted. There is an impossible gulf between you and us. Okay. The man said, okay. He can't come to hell to help me. Now send him to the earth. I have five brothers. Luke chapter 16. You can find it and show it to them. I have five brothers. I don't want them to die and come here. You know, if you have heard the testimonies of some of these ones that have been to hell and are coming out, you will see that people in hell don't even want another person to come there. There's one of those testimonies, Pastor Kumui is warning everybody, is warning Deeper Life people to reject it. There are two of them particularly. One, telling everybody to dress like Deeper Life people. Pastor Kumui himself, go to the internet and see it. He's telling people he's not dressing. Jesus did not die to talk about your outward appearance. That doesn't mean you should be dressing like harlot. There is standard of dressing taught in Christianity, modesty. But if somebody comes out there and the message he said in fall from Jesus is that if you dress, wear trousers, if you wear earring, you go to hell. Tell that lying devil to go to hell himself. You know what is going on? When people like Pastor Victor, who died in accidents, started coming, I warned our people. I said, I know the devil. He's going to set another fire in order to pollute the message so that people will let go of it. And that's what he's trying to do now. There is hell, there is heaven. So what he's trying to do is to strike a strange fire. One wayward lady said she just came into the faith from Liberia. And then she starts calling men of God, call Pastor Deboye, give Pastor Deboye a message, call whatever. I warn you, Satan goes from under authority. God never does it. If God wants to warn Pastor Deboye, he will send a man of God with integrity to him. He will send a Linda. Throw those trash into the dustbin. I have written three books on hell and heaven that will tell you I believe in it. I came from Deeper Life myself. That's where I was born again and raised. These are lying spirits of the last days. Warning men of God on TV and on satellite. You know, one of the worst things is that when any of them replies, next time the same Jesus will appear to her and say, you are fighting me. You are fighting me. That's a lying spirit. We're going to deal with some of these rebellions one of these days. Command that devil, you see how he will manifest. We have dealt with these things in the past. Every 15, 20 years, they come back again. Because a new generation grows in the body of Christ that is not properly taught. It's like when you see people who are abusing the gift of prophecy. Go and check that liar devil. The girl did not die. What killed her? She was not sick. She didn't have accident. Say whatever. A kind of necromancer and something entered her body. Expose that girl to fire, that thing will come out. And you know, stupid pastor, that's what I call him. Because he's using his platform to do this. When he finishes, he tells him, there are only three men of God that God recognizes in Liberia, and you are one of them. That's why he hasn't kicked her out since. Deceiving spirit. Only three men of God recognized in Liberia. Because one of those devil-possessed women
was following Apostle Paul in the Bible. These are the men of God who tell us the way of salvation. If he did not deal with that devil, it's just a matter of time. The day he will send the other message. Paul initially allowed her. After a few days, tongues and said, come out of her, you spirit of divination. Because they can recognize things. They can see things too. This is a mission field that lacks discipleship, that needs to be reached with the gospel and discipled. Nigeria is neglecting her assignment, and now they are sending pollution back to the country. Churches are growing everywhere here, and nobody's doing missions. We are sitting down here. Lying devils. What is the battle? It is to remove Jesus from him, his ability to continue his work on earth. Because the head cannot function without the body. To paralyze the power of the church, to neutralize it and create confusion, is spiritual warfare. You have to know your enemy. You have to understand your enemy if you're going to defeat him. Don't need any stupid Linda to tell you what is coming over from heaven. Read your Bible. You will know what can send you to hell and what can send you to heaven. Do you know what Abraham said? Lazarus says, the rich man says, send Lazarus from the dead to go to my father's house. Abraham said, no way. If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, if they don't listen to men of God speaking to them, they will die and join you there. God will not do anything on earth except he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. God will not send you to go and correct Bishop Oyedepo. Anytime you see that, it's demonic power. If he needs to correct a prophet, he sends a prophet. Let's assume Elijah is misbehaving and God needs to put him back in order. He will send Jeremiah. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Anytime you see from under authority up, Satan is involved. Can you see Peter? Peter taking Jesus by the side and rebuking him. Satan is involved. You see Eve trying to Adam. Satan is involved. You see Bathsheba, David. Satan is involved. Anytime you see that God works through the divine order, Satan works from under in order to destroy God's order. That's why in America, you can't touch children. You can't correct them. Authority of parents have been neutralized. So what is happening to the kids that are running wild and nobody can check them? Anytime you see that, Satan is involved. Anytime you see that, Satan is involved. When you read Kenneth Hagin's book, he said, anytime a person from within the church, outside the church, rises up to disgrace, to distract, or to attack the ministry of God's servant, the direct sponsor of that individual is Satan. Like the lady making tapes and selling in Lagos. And the lady, from within or outside the church, the devil has a hold on that person. And you know, one day, like Judas, that devil has finished what he thinks he wants to do. He will leave the person. The person's eyes clears, but you can't correct what you have damaged. And that's why Judas ended up suicide, that dies and ends up in hell, according to the scripture. It's called high treason against God's kingdom.
It's so sad. Such lying devils are busy calling Pastor Kumuyi's name, calling Pastor Deboye's name, calling the men of God's name, leaving the false prophets. Demons leaving their agents around to be running wild. If you silence the voice of deliverance, the agents of redemption, then Satan can have the right to torment men and women on challenge. He can have his liberty to now do all his work on challenge. I was asking them, the man that showed me the tape in Accra, the lady that made a tape to attack her pastor, I said, when last did she make a tape to win souls? When last did she make a tape to teach people how to make heaven? When last did she make a tape to help encourage people for mission? When last did she make a tape to help encourage people to stop committing abortion? When last did she make a tape to help encourage people to give more to the work of God? When last did she make a tape to encourage people to increase their prayer life? When last did she make a tape to encourage people to live more godly and repent? When last did she make a tape to stop kidnapping in society? To stop armed robbery? To stop the evil and turn the heart of people to God? It is the one that set a goal of winning 10 million or billion souls that she makes a tape to discredit. When last did she make a tape to discredit the native doctors that are paralyzed? When last did she make a tape to discredit ritualists that are all over the place? Does she even have the courage to attack the corruption in government? To attack the evil that is going on all around us? No. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. What she does not understand. Like I said, it's only the Igbos that do that, assisted by their brothers from Benin, the old Benin state. And it's always money. It's always money. They come to churches, you think they came to serve God, they are looking for money. The Bible says, for meat and for drink, for naira and for kobo, for dollars and for pounds, destroy not the work of God. Secondly, he said, destroy not one for whom Christ died. Pastor David, what is your concern? Why are you defending Pastor Deboye and this man? They are my father's agents of deliverance. And don't wait until it's a Dominion City business. It's a kingdom issue. It's my business. It's my father's house. And I know who is the sponsor. I know who he is. I know who he is. It's the same old lying snake. Same. It tries here, we kick him out. He tries here in prayer, they bind him. He tries here, he's defeated. He comes up with the same old trick. The same old trick. guess what? The devil is defeated. We're going to have a terrific move of God in this coming year. We're going to have a very dangerous move of God. The day he spat on mud and carried and rubbed on the eye of a blind man, that's enough to finish his ministry. Because how do you spit? Because the man came to you for help? Is that why you disgrace him like that? And then some people are trying to make money out of that. I think they encouraged, they even went and did a lawsuit on behalf of the girl. Threw that out. So one other person said, let them appeal. They're looking forward to. This place is still better. If it's in America, they make money out of everything. So people, they now write it in churches there. The Holy Spirit moves here and people fall. If you know you don't, you have a chance to leave. Because somebody falls under the power, he stays there, calls police. I'm claiming $10 million. He said, this church, there is an energy on the ground. It makes people fall. I don't know what they do here, but I've been here. And my sister was telling me, you know, she's a church administrator, but she's moved yet with her husband. He said she was pregnant with a baby. He said that she slipped in front of a store. He said she just sat there and called police immediately. The husband said, get up, let's go. He said, no, I cannot get up. I can't even walk again. I don't know who the final called and said, get out of that, your stupidity. He said, Pastor, since there is money in this thing, why should I get up? We're still saying in Nigeria. Flog people. I said, my father's house shall not be, it's not a place of thieves. My house shall be a house of prayer. By the time Facebook and Twitter and all this finish with that, he calls himself Savior. Remember, don't flog people. I'm not in support of that. I believe in civility. I believe in. But when you carry the anointing for 1 year, there are some things you will understand. You will see that the way the spiritual world operates is completely opposite of how this world operates and how sense knowledge works. Bow down your heads, let's pray. I think you are getting the message. Explain these things to you. I need to explain these things to you. The Lord actually instructed me to do that. 2014, 2015 will be dependent on this revelation. For you. Even as a minister, I know who God has placed in my life. I don't play with my own source. I don't, you know, because once the devil disconnects you, he's through with you. He's finished. He's finished too. PCJ, you can see, he said, if they don't listen to the ministers preaching, let them die and join them in hell. You know, issue of salvation is the most sensitive thing to God, yet God predicated it on receiving the one he sent. Millions are going to go to hell. They want to accept God, but they don't want to receive. He said, he that receives you, receive me. You are not dealing with men, you are dealing with God. You are not dealing with men, you are dealing with God. And you are going to do without so much, because 70% of the demonstration and implementation of God's plan is going to do it for your life. Is going to do it through men. That's why he gave you pastors. If you don't respect your pastors, if you don't receive them, if you don't honor them, it's going to be a long journey. It's going to be a long journey. The wilderness will eat a large portion of your years. Father, we thank you. You made mistakes here. Correct it. Say to him, I'm sorry. Because repentance can change anything. You made mistake here. Tell him, I'm sorry. Because these are the things that hinder breakthroughs. These are the things. That's why you don't need two prayers for your problem to be solved. These are the things that hinder people. Go and sit down and do what I'm saying first. Tell God, I'm sorry. And it's one area you have to constantly update yourself, like the area of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift we constantly neglect, sometimes disrespect. The same thing with ministry gift. It's one area you have to constantly update yourself. People who belong to the kingdom of darkness don't make that mistake. You will see them attacking their gurus or their maharajis on TV. You will die. You don't see the obonis coming to, they will die. You don't see the ones who belong to attacking their grandmas. You will die. They don't try it. It's in the kingdom of God that God's children. You don't see the Muslims discussing the emirs, their imams, in the negative, in the public. You will never see it. Do you see how they respect Muhammad? Ordinary cartoon in his name, they can burn you down. Not God's children. Not God's children. It's God's children. They take their own God, take Jesus, make joke, night of a thousand laughs, be making stupid joke with Jesus. Make fun of the prophet. The day he's in dire need, he's dying. His case cannot be treated by the anointing. They will run from church to church, thinking there are two different gods and seven gods. It's the same one. It's the same person. He that receives you receives me. Father, I thank you. Heal your church. Heal your people. And I speak not only for those who are listening to me directly today, but all over Nigeria, all over the continent of Africa. For your children, your sheep, spread abroad all over the land. Bring correction. Bring direction. Bring order. Use these little seeds to open the eyes of many. I thank you. And you lying devil, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ over the church of God in Nigeria, over the church of God in Africa. Stop your works and maneuver. It is hard for you to kick against the brick. It's not man you kick against, it's Christ.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogbeli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.